Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Last week in our study of Nahum chapter 3, we were reading from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 19. Well, let's start out the week right there today.
Plant my feet on this firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
Verse 15, and let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer. Now, we look at those things, those are pretty bad sins, and he says Christians shouldn't do any of those things. But that's not where he stopped. He's putting murder, thievery, evildoer, but notice what else he puts on that same level. Or as a busybody in other men's matters. Notice the level in which he places busybodies. And this is speaking of the last days. You're a busybody in the church. Just understand, God puts you on the level with murderers and thieves, etc. Just so you know, when you got to look at other men's matters, what's going on with them, you got to go out and tell others and make a big deal out of it, cause trouble with it. God says you're as bad as a murderer. So I just want you to understand the level God places your filthy, rotten sin on. Okay? Now, verse 16 says, yet if any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Now, your suffering must be based on your stand for Christ, not on being a busybody. For the time has come that judgment must, think of the word must, okay? For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. Why? I think God has to clean it up. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? Well, that is a simple answer. Hell. You don't receive Christ as Savior, then hell. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, verse 18 says, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Revelation 20:14-15, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So verse 19, again, continuing here in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19 says, wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Now, this is calling us to faith, trusting, regardless of the circumstances in which we find ourselves, we are trusting, totally trusting him with our whole heart. Do you trust God? Do you trust him? See, the question now becomes, will you be weakened by the world's pleasure, which is actually the work of Satan, who wants to overcome you with the darkness? Here you are, you're saved. But you've given into the world. What's it going to take to trust God and do God's will in God's way? Is the fear of man's rejection greater to you than the fear of God? Just what will it take to become a man or a woman of virtue and valor? It might be that you just need to get saved. You've got religion, but you don't have salvation. That's why it's so easy to be taken in by the philosophy of man. Is Jesus truly your Lord and Savior? You better ponder that question. Now let's go on and read verses 14 and 15. Draw thee waters for the siege. Fortify thy strongholds. Go into clay and tread the mortar. Make strong the brick kiln. There shall the fire devour thee. The sword shall cut thee off, and it shall eat thee up like a cankerworm. Make thyself as many as the cankerworm. Make thyself many as the locust. That reminds me of two Bible passages in the Old Testament. First, we look at Psalms chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. This is God speaking. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cord from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. By the way, that is Revelation 19, verse 11 through 21, that you're reading about there. They see the Lord. They decide this is what we're going to do. The skies are rolled back. By the way, in the Bible, that's where you tell the difference between the rapture and the second coming. The rapture is not the second coming of Christ, because Christ doesn't touch the earth then. We meet him in the clouds, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. We're changed, 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 55. We're changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall all of us that are saved, all be changed. So that's God's promise. We shall all be changed. And so that's in a moment. It's like a thief in the night, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5. But the second coming, when God touches the earth, the skies are rolled back as a scroll. They'll see Jesus and the armies of heaven falling upon white horses. And it's just kind of like they're in position there for just a little bit. And the earth gets its armies together, and they decide together what they're going to do. And they're going to fight the Lord. God will laugh at them in what they're trying to do. Then finally, in his wrath, he'll vex them. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 30 says, there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. Men today try to fortify themselves against the Lord. There are governments trying to make laws against God, not even to mention the name of Jesus Christ. Men are making excuses for not getting saved, and they make excuses as so-called Christians seek to justify the lust or the desires of the flesh, saying they have liberty, turning grace of God, as Jude 4 says, of the last days, into lasciviousness, applying liberty and grace to the flesh instead of to the spirit, to be freed from those things. And all these fortifications against God are futile when he begins to move in judgment. So as we look here in verses 14 and 15, we see that God tells them to fortify the best they can because he is sending an enemy against them. That is against Nineveh. Verse 14, he said, draw thee waters for the siege. Fortify thy stronghold. The idea behind drawing the waters for the siege is that in that day, a high wall in a fortified city was next to impossible to break down into a defeat. It was impossible to really just about break into it, let alone defeat it. The opposing army would surround the city. They tried to dam up the waters that were flowing into the city so that they would starve that city out, watching the walls and the routes of the escape, killed those that would. They tried different ways to get in. Okay. 2 Kings chapter 20 speaks of good King Hezekiah, who built a conduit. That is, he built a tunnel that went under the ground, under the walls and so forth, and brought the waters into the city. Now that's wisdom, isn't it? But in that day, that was the exception. That wasn't normally the rule. God tells Nineveh to store up water for the siege. They're going to be attacked. Yet, whatever you do, it'll be insufficient to prevent the destruction. In other words, God said, look, do everything you can. Get yourself well fortified. You're still going to be defeated. I'm still going to allow this to happen to you. But you can do everything you want to do to try to prevent it. Don't make it easy for the enemy. So he's trying to help. He's trying to help. And so often people don't see that. They just don't see that God is saying, look, this is what I'm going to do. He is actually warning them. So he's warned them. It's going to happen. They can't prevent the destruction. I'm reminded of the rich man and Lazarus. All that rich man, when he's in hell, remembers is that Lazarus was full of sores. Now, let me just say this about that. The rich man's earthly body is not in hell, but yet he has a body in hell. God clothes him with a body of some kind that's able to feel pain, that is able to desire to be fed, want thirst to be quenched, tormented by fire. The rich man said he was tormented in his flame. Send somebody to warn my brothers not to come to this place. Even send Lazarus. He wanted Lazarus to be able to just put his finger in water and touch his tongue. All he could remember of Lazarus was that he was full of sores. Wouldn't even want him near himself. Now he's ready for him to dip his finger in water and come touch his tongue, whether he has the sores or not. So, in hell, there is a derision. There's no power, there's no wisdom, there's no strength that can deliver the man who is in hell from that fiery flame, from that torment. The rich man said, I'm tormented. Hell is a place of no hope. You ever hear people make the joke, well, if I go to hell, I'll have a big party with all my friends. But that won't happen.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website, and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on His firm foundation, for the Bible says, I will.